Hey, what's up, you guys? You're listening to another episode of Nick Talk with me, your host, Ms. Nikki James. And today, you guys, we're going to be talking politics. And I know this isn't the most favorite of all subjects, but it's very important. And I think it's a subject that maybe a lot of people don't know much about. So I do have an expert on my show today. His name is John Smith. And just to tell you a little bit about him, he's a Vietnam vet. He is a retired government director. He worked in the Pentagon for a while, 8 years in the military, and he worked with the Clinton administration for a little while. So without any further ado, you guys help me welcome my political advisor, John Smith. Hey, John.
Hey, Nikki. Thanks for inviting me.
Hey, you're welcome. Thanks for taking the time out to do this. I know you're a busy guy.
Especially now, this time of the season.
Yeah. You have. So not only are you, you know, you have all this background, and you're still in politics, aren't you?
Well, I'm. I still play around with politics a little bit. I advise a little bit, write a little bit, and work with a few campaigns. So yes.
Yeah, I want to get into that here in a minute. But first, let's find out a little bit about your history, because this started way back in the day when you first enrolled in the military, right?
Well, I did. Yeah, at the time when I was in the military, of course, I was in the other political party, and went in the military. Actually, I had a scholarship at the time, but I didn't register for education or your school deferment, so I got drafted and put my education on hold for about 17 years.
But, oh, wow.
Went into service, went into Vietnam along with my other two brothers, and served in Vietnam and came back. Was laid up quite a bit. Was in the hospital for about 11 months. And After Vietnam, yeah.
Did you get hurt over there?
I did. I have a shoulder that was in bad shape. They actually put a plastic part in my arm, but at least I have my arm. And so, yeah, so it's been a long time, and feel good these days. Yeah.
Wow.
So it's been a long time.
All right. Let me go back to this, because this is intriguing to me. What happened? Do you remember the injury itself?
I do. I had a gun mount blow off on my shoulder, knocked my shoulder off, which destroyed my ball socket and everything. So
for people that don't know what a gun mount is, walk us through that.
Well, yeah, all the guns, machine guns, have a gun mount that holds it down, especially if it's in an airplane and it's held over into so that it doesn't fly off, because every gun has a back kick and it raises up. So that's mm-hmm. what it did. And this time it just happened to raise off of the mount and ricocheted back, or as it would, what you call if you shoot a gun, you'll get a kick.
Yes.
So you get that back kick. Imagine that kick being about 1,000 times worse than it is anything you've ever seen. And it shattered my my right shoulder. So.
Were you on a plane, or were you on the ground?
I was on a plane at that time. Yeah.
You were?
So, I was on a gunship. So, and then I went to, came back to the States, much short of my time, and spent a few months in the hospital and in and out for about 11 months and full-length cast. But today, thank goodness to medical marvels, I still have my arm and function pretty good.
Wow. So they put you back in after you recovered. So you still...
I never got out, actually. I was
okay.
I was in the military until I was able to get out. So I spent a total of 8 years. I went from from ammo to strategic planning and and aircraft scheduling and plans and scheduling, all those routines. And so I wrote a desk afterwards. So
yeah. So, but that was probably more safe.
Yeah. So after that, then I got out of the service at the worst time, when unemployment was double figures. The gas lines were rationing gas, and so I couldn't have got out the worst time. But ended up working back in, going back into the government as a civil service, and worked my way up through the ranks, and ended up with a couple of political appointees, and retired from the government with just almost 30 years in federal government time.
Oh my gosh. And you know, you took us through that timeline so quickly. I'm sure there are so many stories in that timeline. But first, I don't know if you said this, what branch of the military were you in?
I was with the Air Force. That's right.
Yeah, Air Force. Yeah. Okay.
I was in the Air Force. My brother Tom was in the Air Force. He was what they call the Red Horse technician. And my brother Ron was a tank commander in the Army. So, and all three served in Vietnam.
Wow.
And Ron was the fortunate one to have a book written about him that about his service when he was into Laos in 1972. So, yeah. So, and it tells the full story of the Lam Dau incident. So if you folks are interested in knowing a little bit about Vietnam, that tells a full story. So
what was the book called again?
It's called The Lam Dau Incident into Laos, 1972. L-A-M-D-A-U Incident.
Okay.
The Lam Dau Incident.
Okay.
And Ron was the tank commander that led that group into Laos where we weren't even supposed to be or said we weren't during that time. So
yeah,
it's a good read. It's the author is now dead, but you can still get the book on Amazon, and I reckon it's a good read. So
I bet that I bet reading that kind of makes you feel a little bit closer to your brother and hearing his I'm guessing he kind of relives some of the moments that maybe you were familiar with.
Well, true. And I want to tell you that my brothers and I never talked to each other about Vietnam at all until about 3 years ago. I was picked as the vet of the year for the Veterans Day. And so it was after that when we were at the park and I was with Ron and everybody talked to us about, and that was the first time Ron and I had ever talked about Vietnam, and we talked about it, and we talked to Tom about it. Now we all three talk about it.
Yeah.
Because that's one thing that you do when you come back. You didn't talk about it, and I couldn't figure out why for years. And
why do you think?
Well, I think it was because we come back alive, and many didn't. They got their name on the wall, and we didn't want to talk about it. So, and of course, the way we were treated when we come back during those days, we were not treated very well coming back from Vietnam. They called us baby killers. They threw eggs at us. They spat on us. It was a bad time.
Wow.
So, but now that we talk about it, we talk about the time, and there's a lot of Vietnam vets were shrinking slowly. A lot of us were affected by Agent Orange. Mm-hmm. My brother Tom was. Ron was a little bit. I was. And that it leads to cancer, that you know, that causes me to have a little retinal cancer that I've been fighting for a couple of years. So, but you know, that's what war is. So just like the GIs today that fought in Iraqi Freedom and during Desert Storm, listeners, those guys have a lot of baggage still. So.
Yeah. You know, looking back now, and you had all this, just not having a good reception when you came back. Are you proud that you served in Vietnam, or is there anything that you wish wouldn't have happened?
Well, yeah, I was proud that we served, and a lot of guys were, but you know, it was more of a political war where we weren't allowed to do a lot of the rules of engagement, and we learned a lot that said if you're going to send the military in, you don't send the military in unless you give them the full authority to win. They have to, they go in with one idea, and that's to win and to kill it, and that's the best thing. Vietnam, we didn't have all of that, and you know, there was a lot of us. I was 19 years old. And,
wow.
So when I got hurt the first time, I was 19 years old, and in Tet 68, just a month and a half before my 20th birthday. So that cost me a trip to Japan for about 6 weeks to get healed and then come back into the combat arena again. So it's a different situation back then. When I think we learned a lot, and but then I wonder when I see such things as happen today. We tie the hands of the military. It's not a good idea.
Yeah. We have so much to learn. And unfortunately, like you said, people don't like to talk about it. But what do you think we can learn from Vietnam?
Well, for sure, we can learn that when you send the military in, you got to give them free rein to win the war. You got to give them the wherewithal. You can't give them partial and just let them fight at a certain level. You got to go in to win. And I don't believe we ever went in to win. I think we went in to contain. And it was a sad part. Our withdrawal was a sad part.
Yeah.
When we had to leave in 1975 and fly the helicopters off of the embassy in Saigon, which is now Tonson City, Ho Chi Minh City. So when you think about that, the military is a proud custom of our nation forever.
Yeah.
And we've had a lot of good guys that have lost their lives and they're on the wall of Vietnam. We've had a lot of them that lost it afterwards. And now with Iraqi Freedom and with Desert Storm and now Afghanistan, we've lost so many good guys, but
yeah,
they went in and they fought. So they fought for their country. They fought for their flag.
How do you think we're doing right now with what's going on today?
Well, today is the bloodiest day for losing our American veterans. It's the bloodiest day we've had in over 10 years. And I think it's, frankly, I'm ashamed of it because this withdrawal that was done by the administration was done poorly,
right?
I call this Biden's Benghazi because it's a Benghazi all over again. Where we're leaving, we're going to leave Americans behind. We're not going to extend the date. And today, you know, we negotiate with terrorists, allow the terrorists tell us what we're doing. And today we lost 13 Marines and I don't know how many Afghans and how many Americans we're going to lose. But when we leave them behind, and we've always had it, leave no one behind.
Mm-hmm.
And this administration is going to leave Americans behind,
and
there's going to be more bloodshed.
And also the Afghani, you know, people that helped support us that were not part of this regime and that gave us, you know, intel.
Right. And there's a lot of them left, and we have people that are talking to them. There's so many people that still are there that they're not going to get out.
Yeah.
Yet they took out so many people that they're going to be here in the United States. And believe me, they're not good guys. They're only coming over here for one reason,
yeah,
and that's to destroy our country. And they've already come through. There's already lots of them. You know, a lot of people don't know that we've had over 100 countries coming across our southern border. It is so porous that the bad guys are already in. We've already let the bad guys in here. There's so many of them. And if they're not here, all they got to do is go to the southern border and walk across the border. Now, we don't catch everybody. But
yeah,
of the couple million people that come across, we know we've caught a couple, but there's a lot you don't catch. You don't catch all the drugs. You don't catch all the bad guys. You don't catch a lot of people coming across. And if you go to the border and see that, it's an absolute travesty what we've been able to do from having the most secure border to the most open border. And I call it for the hatred of Trump. We would have done anything for the hatred of Trump. And that's a sad, sad thing because we had the most robust economy. We had the best security on the southern border.
Mm-hmm.
We had the best military strength we've ever had. We were a show of strength. And we've gone to that from America first to America last. And I'm just sad about that.
You mentioned something when we first spoke. You said that you've switched parties. Were you... It's clear to see, I think, that you're a Republican. And obviously, I know that you're a Republican. But you didn't start off that way.
I did not. I was a Democrat, actually, up till 1981. Matter of fact, when I was selected to go work in the Pentagon's White House as a political appointee under the Reagan administration, I was still registered at that time as a Democrat. And it just seemed like that's what you do back home. Everybody's a Democrat. And I went, you know, it's different. We were Democrats when they're under the John F. Kennedy days. He was a great president, you know.
He was.
He made a statement, you know, ask not what your country can do for you, but ask what you can do for your country. Today, it's different. The Democrats are the elitist group. Now they want everything handed to them, everything given to them. It's sad. It's socialism on steroids, and even the platform is written around Marxism, and there's even been books written about the future of the United States, and they have, you know, defeating Marxism and communism, and that's where we are.
Yeah.
So I think it's that when I switched, I didn't realize that the Conservative Party was the party supporting the working man. So if you just look at it and open your eyes and realize that the news media out there, I don't care. It's so easy to defeat and realize how much they lie about everything. It just drives. I just can't believe it. I don't know how people. I don't understand it, and I don't know how people can sit there and listen to that and absolutely believe it.
Do you remember the moment where you decided to switch your political party?
I do. I remember that. Matter of fact, it was during the Carter administration, frankly, and I was actually in a mission, and they had a presidential debate, and we were exposed, all of us, and so we felt like our life wasn't worth a plugged nickel from trying to complete this classified assignment. But, you know, that's when I said, we got to have another president, and that's when I switched over to what I call the party of Reagan, and that was the first time I voted Republican was for,
wow.
For Ronald Reagan.
Yeah. What a great president he was. That was my favorite president, by the way.
Yep, he he said it the way it was, and he had a tremendous memory. Once he met you, he always knew you. So
yeah,
and I still have the pen that he gave all of us when we were appointed, and I still have that pen.
Oh,
so that's the only thing I think I have left on my desk plate, I think.
I want to go back a little bit to what we were talking about with the southern border. And how, you know, you mentioned there were so many people that were already in here that are wanting to do Americans wrong. They want to hurt us. They're not here for good reasons. So my question is, if we're the land of the free, what do you think is our best measure of combating this?
Well, we did a good job in the last administration to combat this. Mm-hmm. And I'll tell you, we knew where they were. We stopped the bad guys from flying in here. We stopped the people from coming across the border. We stopped over 95% of the drugs coming in. We stopped over 99% of the illegals coming in. We stopped the child trafficking, the sex trafficking, the drug trafficking, and we stopped all of that. So we have a couple years of record of how we did that. And to find that again, we're now going to have to be a vigilant group. So now you're going to have to watch those people to see if there's anything going on.
Don't you think that this maybe is going to add to the racism that's already here?
Well, I don't know if it adds to the racism, but clearly, it's like I said, not all Muslims are terrorists. Clearly, all the jihadist terrorists are Muslims. But that doesn't mean all the Muslims are bad. But you got to have... You got to maintain that vigilance. And I don't call that racism. You know, that's freedom that you got to be able to pick out the bad guy. And
yeah.
It doesn't matter whether they're black, white, brown. It doesn't matter who where they're from. If
that's
they're
right.
Here to do harm to us, we need to be vigilant and watch that we're doing harm. We're all Americans, and we're all...
That's what I want to get back to.
Yes,
yeah.
we're all Americans. The color of your skin, your religion, it doesn't matter. I just don't see that racism... Is an issue with that? There's obviously they always try to trigger all the conservatives as racist.
Yeah.
Well, that's just ridiculous. And of course we got Larry Elder now running in the state of California. We have a recall election coming, and Larry Elder is one of the top ones. And there's about 49 candidates on there that are written up, and Larry Elder's a friend, and of course I voted for Larry, but you can read about every single one of them. And what now, the LA Times has figured out why Larry Elder's on top, and he was born and raised in South Central LA.
He
became a journalist, but the LA Times printed an article and said they finally figured out this guy is a white supremacist with wearing a black face. Now that's how they've called Larry Elder. So here he has been. By the LA Times that he is a white supremacist in wearing black skin. Are you kidding me? Isn't that something? He was from South Central LA, and that's what they do with the conservatives. They label them, they put a name on them, they call them an Uncle Tom, or they call them anything they want.
Yeah.
Larry Elder. Is is just an American. He's a patriot. Yeah. He's a journalist, one of the finest journalists there is. Just because he's conservative, they planted him as a white supremacist, black white supremacist.
Yeah.
That's insane. But Larry Elder is a salt of the earth, and if you met him and you talked to him, he's very, very smart, and he will turn this state around. And I'll tell you what, once we start turning the state around, people are going to start waking up and start realizing that there's so much that we can do here in the state of California.
Let me read this to you.
Okay.
He says here, I am not an elitist, power hungry politician. I'm humbled to ask for your vote. I'm an optimist. Let's make California golden again. And you're right. As I read his large bio, he never, ever mentions the fact like that he's this race or that he's from here. And as a matter of fact, he actually does the opposite. He says, you know, listen, I've come through hardships and everything. Anyway, I just think that is a wonderful thing. And that's very nice that's who you're voting for. And I'm sure people will look into him a little bit more now.
I'm sure they will. I actually did a post showing the people how to vote yes, first of all, for recall. And then after that, you have to vote for a candidate. And Larry Elder is actually on the back of the ballot, so you got to look for him. He's not on the front of the ballot. So once you mark yes, you got to flip the ballot over and look in the right-hand column at the top, and you'll find that's where Larry Elder's name is.
I'm actually looking at it right now.
He's halfway down.
Oh, I see. Okay.
And I encourage everybody. You know, this guy is sharp. He will make this state great again. And I want to tell you what. He's not a hypocrite. He's not going to tell you that if you wear a mask, you're going to stop everything. And then he's going to go into a five-star restaurant and dine with a bunch of people. He's not going to, he will defeat the mask mandate because we know that don't work. And so it's just, he's going to free this state. He's going to turn it into a wonderful, that golden state again, and that city on the hill, that shining city on the hill that Reagan talked about. And that's where you see Elder. He's just a good guy.
Yeah, he really is. I'm glad that you mentioned that. And for more information, you guys can just go on to California's website, the state of California. I think it's .gov. And you can look up all the people that are running. I want to talk about maybe people that don't really get into politics, I think are afraid of all of the lies from both parties. So let's go to the basics of politics. What should run-of-the-mill Americans that maybe are too busy to really get involved, maybe they're too busy to really research all these people, what should they know? What should they look for? What is the most important thing?
Well, clearly, you know, if you're looking for a handout, I say don't vote. Why do you want a handout? You know, this country wasn't built on handout. This country was built on the free market system, and it was built on the Constitution. It was built on competitive. If you think of that, the competitiveness of our country, the Constitution of our country, and what we want, where we want to be, and so if you work for it, and you're in a competitive state, the free market system works, and then of course the last thing under that is charity. You know, the government doesn't need to be your charity. We donate to charity. I donate, but more to charity than probably anything else. Mm-hmm. There's two big things I donate for, and that's one is my wife died of breast cancer, so I'm a big donor for breast cancer. But then I also donate a lot to many different organizations who are looking out after the people. The churches are some of the best. So when you tithe and you give money to churches, they're helping a lot of people. And you can see all the churches. So charity is another big one. But don't go to the government for charity. The government is the worst for determining what charity, because that's where all the problems begin. So we have some great charity organizations out there, and that's what you should do.
What do you mean by charity?
Well, I say that the charity, that there's a lot of churches, there's a lot of charity organizations that take care of people. But if you're going to say you want to get charity from the government, there isn't. Now, we do have welfare from the government for those who need it. And I saw, and I can tell you, we get some of them that get on welfare. They'll spend 20, 30 years. That is not what it's for.
Right.
It's a kickstart when you have a hard time. So, you know, that's, yeah. that's, and I think everybody agrees with that. But you know what? When they talk about the neighborhoods and they talk about the hood, oh, we need this, we need that. You know, it's almost like we want to enter segregation again, and that isn't what we want. You know, everybody is an American. If we treat everybody equally as an American, everybody has the same chance. Everybody.
Yeah.
And of course, you know, the small town I was born in, I never heard the word racism until I traveled outside the country in the military.
Where were you born? What was the small town?
Little town of Bel Air, Ohio. So, yeah. And we're actually Nikki's. I end up moving to. So, yeah.
My family is from there. Yeah.
Yeah, they are. And so, you know, and it's a hard working town and
coal miner.
It's a coal mining town, and a lot of people have come out of there have done well. And I can tell you that it's just because of they have switched their political views.
Mm-hmm.
And I can tell you the congressman in Ohio who represents us, the people in Ohio, is a friend of mine who lives in Marietta.
Aww.
And Billy is just a good guy. And so look at who your congressmen are. I can
who
I tell
is this?
You,
Billy who in Ohio?
Yeah, it's Billy Mitchell. He lives in
Marietta.
Yeah, Marietta, Ohio. He's a good guy. So out here, you know, I work with a campaign of Mike Garcia. And Mike is, now he's a rarity. His dad came over from Mexico in 1959. And he ended up marrying a local lady, and Mike himself was born here in the U.S., ended up going to Saugus High School, graduating as valedictorian, gone to getting an appointment at the Naval Academy. He graduated from the Naval Academy, and then he went to pilot training school, fighter pilot, graduated number one in his class, and he was picked to fly the new F-18E Hornet. He went
Wow.
He flew combat. Here's a guy who flew downtown Baghdad at 500 miles an hour at 50 feet off of the ground, where he had to look up to see the whites of the eyes of the enemy. This guy's got incredible judgment, and that's what drove me back into politics. When I met this guy, I said, I'm all in. And so I worked hard on his campaign, and got to go to Washington with him to the RNC, received the presidential plate for campaign. So
I've seen it.
This guy, yeah, and this guy is absolutely brilliant. Mike is the future of the GOP, and I can tell you that.
That's what I was going to ask. What's he doing now? So I know that campaign is over.
Yeah, he's in Congress, but you got to be reelected every 2 years, so we're mm-hmm. out there again. We had just recently Mike Pompeo, the Secretary of State under Trump, just endorsed Mike, and Mike's got probably the endorsements of everybody. He's the hardest working guy in Congress, without a doubt the smartest guy I know in Congress, and I've been back to his office many times. I've talked to his office staff, and Mike is just brilliant. He's a great speaker, and he is not, he'll challenge anything. He's really against what's going on in Afghanistan, and he told them what they need. He tells them what it is. So Mike Garcia is, you know, I was so privileged. That's what brought me back out to fight for politics again and do a campaign. So if you're looking for someone, we have a guy by the little name of Joe Collins who's downtown L.A. You folks are going to listen to a podcast downtown L.A., look at Joe Collins. He's running against Maxine Waters. This guy knows the problems of South Central LA. There has been no changes in the 30 years. And the person representing at Maxine Waters doesn't even live in the area.
California, by far, has the biggest homeless problem on the entire continent.
Not only we have the biggest, you know, they estimate in LA alone, you know, there are anywhere from 40 to 60,000 homeless people living. And you know what? There has not been a single COVID case reported. I don't, you know, go figure that one. They want to have a mass mandate.
Yeah.
That all of these homeless people live together. They live in the most atrocious conditions ever. And no COVID. California is the worst. And I can tell you, Larry Elder will bring an end to every one of those issues.
you were a Democrat and you know, now you vote Republican. But, you know, just from me knowing you personally, we've talked a little bit about politics. And you told me that just because you once voted Democrat and you now vote Republican, it doesn't necessarily mean that you stand behind everything Democrat or everything Republican. Well, now that you're Republican. So how do you gauge? And this is what I think a lot of people want to know. Maybe someone that doesn't, they haven't picked a party, because some people feel like, why do I have to pick a party? And I would really like to know just your thoughts on, let's talk to the younger generation.
I have granddaughters, and I can tell you that one went to a liberal college, and that's where she is. And I went, yeah, I know you're not dried, but I just tell her she's not dried behind the ears. Anybody that's been in combat will tell you that, you know, that if you're fighting for our flag, if you're fighting for this country, then you ought to support this country. You ought to support this flag. You ought to be smart. You ought to salute this flag, not burn it.
And I completely agree with you. But what about the people that haven't fought for the country?
Well, if they haven't, you know, they ought to talk to somebody. They tell them, talk to somebody like me. But, you know, even if they haven't, they ought to look at both sides and do some research. Don't believe the media. Don't believe what you hear. Go check it out yourself. If you check it out yourself, you're going to find where the lies are and where they are. Yeah. You know, people ask me how I like Bill Clinton. Well, I like Bill Clinton. We disagreed politically, but as far as a person and what he was done, you know, Bill Clinton was a good guy. He had a great economy. He did a lot of good things. And he also said, we're at the end of big government.
Yeah.
So, you know, he rolled over and changed a lot of things, but you know, and then after that, what do we have? Oh my goodness.
Yeah.
Jeez. So, and we've had some bad, conservatives. We've had some bad Republicans as well. So, you know, I don't agree with a lot of that. So
about our system, what do you like about it and what do you want to change?
Well, as far as the Constitution is it's a breathing document, living, breathing document.
That's what you like about it, then.
That's what I like. I think people ought to adhere to it. We've got certain inalienable rights. And, you know, it's amazing that our founding fathers knew so much and could see so much into the future, what they're doing. And it's amazing. So I would say the Constitution, a living, breathing document, there's a lot. And anytime you make a change, you make an amendment to it. That's why it allows for the amendments.
Now, let me ask about voting. Do you think since they voted, you know, the very first voting poll that they did, and now we're voting?
We're voting by mail, which opens up for a lot of fraud. If you have voter ID is needed. Mm-hmm. The Democrats even said, okay, well, we concur with that. Well, they didn't before, but that's great that they do, because voter ID is needed. If you have voter ID, then that's all you can vote. You know, Mexico has voter ID. In Mexico, when they go to vote for a political party, they run the president's party right away. So you can vote anywhere in the country of Mexico, but you got to have the voter ID. They found so many illegal voters in the state because they had their driver's license to show, and yeah, they got the vote, and yet they were illegals.
So you remember when Trump questioned the whole voting, everything, like the ballots and them
taking.
So you agree?
I think, as many do, that this election was stolen because of just the way it was handled. I mean, you can't have a ballot that's not folded because it has to be mailed. And when you find 150,000 ballots that are all the same, all computer generated, all flat, and all of them open up in the same box, there's something wrong. It's something happened. That's why you got to have voter ID. That's why mail-in is no good. However, absentee ballots where you prove that, you can. I voted as an absentee ballot this time. And when I sent it in, I registered. So I knew when the mailman got it, when the post office received it, they had to send me an email. When the election committee got it, they had to send me an email and a text. When they counted my vote, they told me I counted my vote. And now I could go in and find out, did they mark it for the right guy?
So you can?
Oh, yes.
See, that was my question. I was going to ask you, like, why can't I go in and see that my vote was counted?
You can.
You can?
Yeah, if you register with the Department of Elections, you can, and when you get your number, you can mail it in. You'll automatically get, you'll get a text on your phone, you'll get an email, and you will get a phone call.
So you'll get a text, you'll get an email?
And a phone call telling you what the status of your ballot is. But you have to register for it.
I see.
If you don't register with the state, who you are, with your name, your address, and all that stuff, information, then you won't, you won't get the information back. But I do that because I want to make for sure my ballot is counted.
Yeah, that's what I was looking for. So I'm actually sitting here looking at my ballot right here, my mail-in, because I was so, I knew I needed to do some research.
When you get your vote, it tells you how to, shows you how to register with the state, so that when you mail your vote in, you're going to get it. When the post office gets it, they're going to send you information.
I want to ask you, I have here on my question card, what do you think is important to run the country?
Well, you got to have transparency, you know, and you got to have a way to check the transparency. Right now, there's lies upon lies, even the media lies. It's terrible. You know, when Trump called the fake news media, he wasn't lying. I mean, I can tell you, I look across those channels and I went, that guy just told a big fat lie. And how many people are going to believe that?
Yeah.
Everybody believes that lie because you're a part of that political party. You want to believe it whether you do it or not.
Yeah.
You know, it's just like, oh, Trump was with the Russians. No, Trump never did anything with the Russians. Biden received millions from the Russians and a mayor, but Trump, nothing. Well, you don't see them mentioning Hunter Biden on the major news network because they're part of the Democratic Party. But here you got a guy who has got three laptops he lost, and these laptops are in, they have actual documentation. You can't beat what's there.
You know, that reminds me of the Clintons, when Hillary Clinton had actual documentation, but somehow it just
30,000 emails. Yeah, they thought Trump was with the Russian because he said maybe the Russians have it. He said that at a rally. You know, Trump, he runs. It's so funny that to see what they say. But I want to tell you, the only people who was in collusion with the Russians was Hillary, who wrote the dossier and paid for it. It was all fake. It was a bunch of crap. Yet they turned it over to an anti-Trumper who was happened to have been a Republican, who turned it over to the FBI. John McCain turned it over to the FBI.
Yeah.
So that deep state just ran crazy with it. But and they knew it wasn't true.
Yeah.
Everybody knew it wasn't true. Same as Benghazi. You know, they let the Benghazi go. Listen, we lost our ambassador. Nothing happened to these people. They were never held accountable.
I know there's so much to talk about here. Oh my gosh, you are such a plethora of knowledge. I do want to ask you, you know, you have had the luxury, if you will, of getting to know people in politics. So you've met the president. You know, I actually went with you to the inauguration of Trump. And you were invited. And, you know, previously before that, you were involved with the Clinton administration. And I want to ask you, you know, these presidents that we have, even though maybe we disagree with their policies, you know, did you like one, even though you completely disagreed with him?
Oh, I did. I liked Bill Clinton. I thought he was charismatic. He was a fun guy. He was easy to talk to. He remembered who you were. He was as far as a person, I liked Bill Clinton. He was a very, very good guy. I think that Hillary was, she had a real foul mouth, hated the military. And,
really?
But, you know, I just didn't agree. And, of course, Al Gore, I thought was slow leak. But I thought Bill Clinton was, you know, he was on top. He was a good guy and may have disagreed with a lot of his politics. But he had a good economy. He did a lot of good things. But,
yeah.
But you know, frankly, I disagreed with a lot of things that George Bush did when he got in. I think there was a lot of issue, but so it doesn't matter who they are. But and I think that the that's why I say the election was stolen. If it wasn't stolen, the Democrats voted for a demented person who can't even hold a conversation. He can't even hold a news conference. He doesn't talk to the people. He comes out and he talks. He reads from a teleprompter. Actually, he reads. He can't read the teleprompter, so they have a large screen TV that he reads from. Oh. And then he turns around and walks away like a lost pup.
I know. He does so many things on camera that is so cringeworthy. But it's okay because, you know what, on the other side, people can say, you know, that Trump has done the same with his facial expressions or with his lack of political jargon. But anyway, I want to ask you this because we are limited on time and I really want to get to some of the lighter side of things.
Okay.
First, before we get to the lighter side of things, one thing that you think might be a complete conspiracy that people don't know about.
UFOs. When I got my first executive job in the government, I was Project UFO.
You were John Smith.
Yeah. So I was John Smith. Of course, people didn't believe they want to know my real name. And I said I was a mistake child and I got that name at birth, so I can't hide from it. That was a good one because I did work Project UFO. And I think they say it's a conspiracy theory that the election was not won by Trump and that the votes did count and they did measure. Well, the conspiracy is that there was a lot of votes that came in that were never mailed and they were all computer generated. And there's a lot of there's some proof to that, but you're not going to find it because they're not going to bring it up.
Yeah.
And they say, well, how are we going to verify? Well, you want to stop it the next time. There's nothing you can't go back. And I know a lot of people are talking about they want to go back and recount the votes and recertify to get Trump back in office in August. Well, that ain't going to happen. But and Trump knows that. But what Trump wants to do is go after the House and Senate, and we will win the House, definitely. Trump will run in 2024. I believe that. I believe he'll run in 2024. He still is the biggest draw in the country. I mean, this guy just had a rally in Alabama, and they talked about, well, there might be 10 or 15,000 people there. It was like 50,000 people there.
Let me ask you this. What do you think, why do you think people don't like Trump?
Well, because... They tell so many lies about him. Number one, they used to love him when he was just a public figure because all the Democrats come and kissed his rear end about getting money from him to run their campaign.
So what's changed?
So, what's changed is he quit donating to them and he said he wanted to run his own. And you know, when you're a private citizen, sometimes you say a lot of stuff. You know, Donald Trump has built an empire. And did he do everything right the first time? No, but he learned by it. I mean, how do people make it? They fail a lot. If you want to look in the background, a lot of these guys that are billionaires, you're going to find a whole lot of baggage. You're going to
a whole lot of failure.
A whole lot of failure. That's right. They say he lies. Well, he don't lie. He just lets the people know. He lets you know the facts, and he gives you the stories. And yeah, he can make you laugh. The guy's got some great jokes. You know, he's just he can be a prankster as well. But he's human. He talks to you the way you like to talk to someone else. And right. If you just meet him, if you just think about it, if you listen to him, then you're going to understand this guy knows what he's talking about. But he doesn't pull any punches. And I don't care who you are, he doesn't pull any punches.
Yeah.
If you're a military officer and you screw up, he'll tell you. So he just lets you know what's on his mind, just like. But nobody else does that. I think the guy is fine. Can you imagine that if one of Trump's kids did half what Hunter Biden, it'd be out there. It doesn't. You don't even hear anything about Hunter Biden. You don't hear what he's done in China, what he did in Ukraine, what he did in Russia, what he's done with the ladies, what he's done with what's on his laptop. There's so much out there, guys, but you don't want to look at it. And the media don't want to look at it.
I know.
They don't want to look at it.
I think we need to open up the avenues of communication and talk about it.
I do. I agree. I agree 100% with you. You know, of course, you've been to Washington. You've met Trump. You've been around the corner with all these people, so you know what's going on with that, Nikki. So, it's a little different avenue. So, I'm just saying that the more transparency that we bring to government, the better it is.
An open communication, right, John?
I believe in open communications. You know, I said on the base realignment
without hate.
Without hate. I sat on a base realignment and closure committee where when Bill Clinton wanted to close 500 bases and went to him, and I said, we're not going to get there. But, you know, we closed 150 military installations smartly. Mm. And we did that because that was a good idea to get rid of a lot of fat. You know, Trump has done a lot of that also. He's gotten rid of a lot of fat and a lot of the stuff. But, yeah. You know, let's be Americans. Make it America first. You know, what we're seeing right now is a chance for people they want a global economy. The globalists. I think that's just dead wrong.
We're not
Trump
there
is
yet.
A Trump first. Trump is a Trumper. He's
America first.
America first. And Biden just put America last, if you think about it. Our borders are open. Our inflation is higher than it ever has been. Our international scene is somewhat an embarrassment. Look what we've done in Afghanistan. So it's a terrible thing that we've seen. And Trump had the best economy. He had the best economy for blacks, for Hispanics, for women, for the entire world. Better than ever done. He closed the border. He closed it up where over 99% of everything was stopped. Now it's a wide open porous and
the thing is, you can only do so much in 4 years. Typically, when you get things done is when you are elected for that second 4-year term. Because the first 4 years, you're stuck fixing everything that the president before you messed up. And also incorporating your own new laws. Politics is so... it's so hard to find out who's telling the truth.
It is. And I tell people that politics is a physical game. You know, you really got to, it's not just who's a good guy. I mean, I call it close to combat game. You know, that's why I think there are certain people who do very, very well. We need those military veterans who have fought wars, who understand to get involved in the political realm. And that's why Mike has done so well. But, you know, I tell you what, when all these military, you look at all of them, they go fight for the country. They wear the flag. When you burn the flag, you turn off many. If you want to look at where we are today, the Democratic Party and woke, wokeism ain't crap. I'm going to tell you, anybody that believes in woke, it turns to crap in a heartbeat. Yeah, why are we, I don't know why we want to destroy our history, because we learn from our history. And another one's critical race theory. And of course, the Black Lives Matter, frankly, if you look at their website, they're Marxist. Is that where you want our country to be?
Marxism is a social, political, and economic philosophy named after Karl Marx. It examines the effects of capitalism on labor, productivity, and economic development. And it argues that workers need to have a revolution to overturn capitalism in favor of communism. Marxism believes that capitalism can only thrive on the exploitation of the working class. So they believe that there is a real contradiction between human nature and the way that we have to work in a capitalist society. According to Marxists, the Marxism approach has a dialect to life, that everything has two sides. And while I agree with that, I definitely do not agree with the fact that everyone should be given the same amount of prosperity, regardless of the effort level. So the ultimate goal for the Marxist movement was the conquest of political power by workers, the abolition of private property, and the eventual establishment of a classless and stateless communist society. That sounds like there is no individuality, there is no room to grow, and it's absolute craziness in my book. But let's get back to what's going on in the world today. Go ahead, John.
You know, somebody says, you know, well, the Republican Party isn't for LGBTQ. I said, well, let me tell you about that. Mm-hmm. I said, the Republican Party doesn't care who you sleep with. You don't need to be recognized with who you sleep with. You know, Rick Grenell is gay, and he's one of the smartest guys I know in a Republican. He was the first gay guy to be appointed in the first term by Trump as the ambassador to Germany. He also became the national security advisor to the president. Mm. And he's gay. He says, but so what? Because I choose to sleep with a man, I'm gay. He goes, I'm still a man. But the Democrat Party wants a different reference because of who you sleep with.
Yeah.
We don't care who you sleep with. If you want to sleep with chickens or dogs, it don't matter. We don't care. You're still a man. You're still a woman.
You're still a human. All right. Let me ask you this. COVID. First of all, when did you find out about COVID?
I found out about it in January of 2020.
January.
First time I heard of it. Yeah.
And, you know, they said it was actually around in December.
And, well, it was around in December. I didn't hear anything about it till January. And, of course, then they closed my office in March, and I was closed for 15 months.
Yeah. And your business?
I run a little travel agency and part of the largest consortia in the free world. And I'm in 11 countries and had about 3,500 home-based agents, and we went down to about 100 during COVID, and now we're building back. And
wow.
But the government is not helping. I mean, paying these people an extra $300 a week, it's hard to get employees who want to come to work. However.
Wait, what was that about? What do you mean?
That's the unemployment benefits done by this administration are paying an extra $300 a week.
The federal government
is paying unemployment benefits of $300 a week plus your regular unemployment check to everybody on unemployment. Now, if you've been collecting unemployment and they offer you to go back to work and your unemployment hasn't expired, why would you want to go back to work when you can earn more money sitting at home collecting $300 a week? Why would you do that? So what I did is I paid everybody to come to work. I paid everybody to do that. I paid my employees. And, yeah, it cost me a lot of money. But you know what? I still have all of my employees. I have them all. And, and I'm hoping that this thing ends by the end of September that I can bring everybody in the office full time.
Yeah.
Right now, I have half my employees working at home full time. And I have half in the office full time. And then I have a couple thousand outside agents all over the world that are sitting at home trying to get the travel business alive. But this COVID and the restrictions change every single day, every day. Like I'm going to Mexico in the morning. I just found out just now they require an additional piece of paperwork. It came out today. It's somewhat ridiculous what we're seeing in the world of travel. And I got involved in the travel business after I retired from the Fed. And it's been a fun business to be in. We did very well. But now the COVID is trying to really run people out of business. And what do I think of COVID? Well, I believe in what I've seen with doctors. And frankly, I'm not vaccinated. I'm almost 74 years old, and I have not been vaccinated. I don't believe in it because that's me. But if people want to get vaccinated, I think that's fine. Everybody in my family has been vaccinated. I come from a large family of 9 brothers and sisters that are all vaccinated. Mm-hmm. Their wives are vaccinated. Their kids are vaccinated. I have not been vaccinated.
So let's talk about why you haven't.
Well, because I believe that the vaccination, even though it was just approved, the Pfizer was approved by the FDA. Mm-hmm. I felt that it was experimental, number one. Number two, when I saw who was behind the big pharma, the Bill Gates of the world, and the big, I just said, you know, this isn't going to go right.
All right, let me ask you this. Because you were involved with the Clinton administration, and we know that WHO, right, the WHO, is founded by the Clinton administration. So, with you saying that you didn't believe in it, but yet you also work for the Clinton administration, let me play devil's advocate. Why did they believe in it and now you don't?
Well, that's my own personal belief is I waited and I studied and I studied and I found out all the studies that were going on with ivermectin therapeutics. When Trump said, "Hey, listen, I'm for therapeutics," I said, "Who was doing the therapeutics?" I find out none of the states, most of them have been told not to treat therapeutically. So when you go to the hospital.
So what do you mean by therapeutics?
Yeah, nobody treats COVID. And when you go to hospital, therapeutics such as hydroxychloroquine.
Oh, yeah, because they can't. Yeah, yeah.
They told them not to use it. Ivermectin, not to use it. Well, in Australia, they use it. And they found that and there's been so many different studies on ivermectin that says that this will do the cure in 48 hours.
Okay, I looked it up, and it was discovered in the late 1970s. It was in Tokyo, Japan. It was derived from the soil, Japanese soil, and it said that there was immeasurable beneficial impacts to improving the lives and welfare of billions of people throughout the world. They first introduced it as a veterinary drug, and it kills a wide range of internal and external parasites in commercial livestock and companion animals. It is now being offered for free when you're looking to eliminate disease. This is an anti-parasite treatment.
Yes.
It's a treatment that you can fight off with, you know, things caused by roundworm, threadworm, parasites.
Right.
Yeah. So why do you think this is associated with...
Well, because there's been so many different trials by the Frontline Doctors Association that said ivermectin is a miracle drug. So I sent it to my son. He took two tablets. He got up the next day. This was after 8 days. He could breathe. Then I told him, I said, take the other two. He got the other two. He got rid of the sore throat. And he all of a sudden he was fine. He was still tired. He still had no taste. Then he started on hydroxychloroquine. He took that for 4 days. He's been back to work. And frankly, two of the people who have COVID that have the vaccine are still have COVID, still haven't tested negative. So
wow.
Now the doctors in the state say that, oh, that was just a coincidence because we're not even allowed to issue it. Well, yeah, because there's no money in it. It costs these doctors only 7 cents to issue it.
Exactly.
And it's not bad. So I take it. I buy it. I have it. You know, and frankly, I had a guest who ended up testing positive for COVID after spending a week at my house.
And you didn't get it?
Nope, I did not get it. I was tested. I have not had
COVID. Okay, so what they say is there are certain people that are genetically, their genetic makeup will not allow them to contract it. What do you say about that?
I took ivermectin, and I believe that... that was my cure. My son called me. He said, you saved my life. And I can tell you, I get so many requests for it because I had a stockpile, but I don't anymore.
The people that are actually dying of COVID, what's your opinion on that?
They're not being treated. There's no therapeutics treating them. The only person, two people come out against for therapeutics, and that's Regeneron, and that is Ron DeSantis of Florida. He says, I'm authorizing you to use ivermectin, Regeneron, hydroxychloroquine. So if you look at the death rate, if you look at the numbers of cases in Florida.
You think it's political?
Oh, I do. I do believe it's political. Yes, I do. And if Ron DeSantis and also Texas and also North Dakota, they've told them that they're going to pay for Regeneron. That's what the president looked. And President Trump went to the hospital. They gave him Regeneron cocktail. He got up the next day. He felt great. So Ron DeSantis said, everybody in Florida, you can have Regeneron, you can have ivermectin, you can have hydroxychloroquine, and the doctors. Now, some doctors, because they're on the left, feel like they don't want to do that.
Yeah.
So what they do is if they let them come in, they give them a vitamin.
Yeah.
And either they make it or they don't. And if they have to put them on the ventilator, they turn up the ventilators to such a high percentage, it kills them anyway. I'm not a doctor, but I believed in the therapeutics. I believed in it.
What do you think about the kids' vaccine?
Oh, that scares the hell out of me, frankly. I just, the kids, I mean, their chances.
They're going to make it mandatory.
I know, and it's sad because the survival rate for anybody under 16 is 99.997%. So your death rate is 0.003%. And it's not tested. I have a friend in Mexico who had COVID, got through it, and they convinced her to take the vaccine. She took the vaccine and had a heart attack and died.
Do you believe that the vaccine is useful?
Well, it's useful to some people, I'm sure. You know, they can talk about it all they want. You just don't know, do you? Well, I'm a conspiracy person because I believe that every one of these people on TV that say go get the jab, I think they're being paid. I think all those doctors are being paid by Big Pharma to say, get the jab, go get the shot. I think they're being, you know, I wish I knew. And they could say, they could tell me that they're not receiving a dime. Yeah. Now, there are certain things, like in the travel industry, you have to have vaccination before you can travel.
Yeah.
So I'm just telling them, how about, you know, I'm worried, more worried about, I'm more worried about catching AIDS than I am the COVID. So have these people been checked for AIDS?
Yeah. Well, yeah, but the difference is that the coronavirus is through the air and AIDS is through blood.
Yeah. Do you know that there are more people shot and killed in Chicago last weekend than died of COVID? If you look at what the National Institute of Health has done, they have already listed when the variants are going to come out, and they've already named them all the way out for the next couple of years. There's a variant that's going to come out.
Really?
Every 4 to 5 months.
They've already named the variants.
They've already named
that
them.
Aren't even here.
And they're not even here yet, but they have named them, and they told them when they're going to be come out. When they're going to come out.
Wow.
So when you see that, you went, really?
Where can people find this?
Well, you know, they a lot of times it's on the web for a little while, but then it goes off because
I know,
The big tech government takes it off and they don't do it. So, you know, I just think, tell you, a lot of people have taken it. They say they feel good. My whole family's taken it. I've seen people with vaccinations have severe problems, and you know, and I've had, like I said, I have had people that you know, I'm not a doctor. I have no business, but I said I believe in what when Trump said therapeutics. And he talked about this. I started looking into it. I've had 3 heart attacks. I've had 2 strokes. I have 5 stents. I've had a collapsed lung.
You don't trust
I got Agent Orange. I got cancer in my eyes. I got cancer in my prostate. These vaccines haven't done crap for me, and I'm not going to take it for this. But I can tell you that the people that have been treated with ivermectin hydroxychloroquine have beat it every single time.
Wow.
You can talk to my son. Try it. Take a couple tablets and gee whiz and see what happens. I mean, they've demonstrated it in Australia that has cured people in 48 hours who've lost 50% of their oxygen level. I don't know anybody that's gotten that bad.
Yeah.
But my son was bad, and he said, today he says, Dad, you saved my life. I said, I wish I had known earlier. I would have gotten it to you earlier. To me, that's huge. And I want to tell you that knowing that I have been around people who have been positive, and I test negative, and I haven't been
vaccinated.
And I have not been vaccinated.
All right.
And I'm not going to get vaccinated, you know, so I won't travel much on these cruises that say you got to be vaccinated.
Right.
So I just tell them, I said, you know, that's my constitutional right, and I'm not going to get vaccinated. Yeah. I feel good.
They can test you. Honestly, like, if you test negative, why do they want to make you get a vaccine? Let's talk about that.
Well, I have a conspiracy theory behind that, too.
Talk to me.
And I just think that they want everybody to have the vaccine passport so they can know everything about you.
Mm-hmm.
And frankly,
your DNA.
Yeah, that's exactly right.
Yep.
Your DNA. And I think they... and I want to tell you, I don't know anybody in Congress, and I want to tell you what, I do a lot of campaign, and they all tell me, please don't say that. So, you know.
Well, we're all thinking it, John. We're all thinking it. It helps to have someone like you say that.
You look at my neighbors around here, and they come around to the house, and they go, do you have ivermectin? I give it to them. Oh, no, we'll pay for it. I said, it's so cheap.
Really?
So now they're trying to buy it off the shelf so it's not available. And I'm not talking about the animal ivermectin. I'm talking about the medical ivermectin that's done to treat humans. You know, we're the last country of hope with that city on a hill. And I want to tell you, I am really concerned that this Marxist socialist agenda that the Biden administration is doing could turn this country into Venezuela in another year. I am worried about that. I'm concerned about it. We have some strong folks in Washington, but I am concerned about it. If you look at, and I tell the folks that play for the NBA, they call me all the time, and I said, I'm surprised you're not in China. Because anybody that salutes the Chinese flag and kneels during the American flag, I don't have any use for you. And if you've been in combat, I don't think you would have any use for them either.
Yeah. You know,
I just want to say, I know it takes a lot of courage to talk about theories, and it takes a lot of courage to, you know, just kind of say what you're thinking and feeling, even though it's not often the popular thing to say. So I just wanted to thank you very much for sharing your stories and sharing your ideas. And I hope, if nothing else, that this made some people look some things up on the internet and do a little bit more research. But you guys, thank you again from me, Nikki James, here at Nick Talk. Thank you, John. And you guys, if there's any questions that you have, please feel free to inbox me. You can email me or ask any questions that you would like privately on www.nicktalklive.com. Thank you so much, and have a great day, guys.